Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Nancy Pearl is with us. It's been a little while since we've had the great pleasure of speaking with Nancy. She, of course, is an extraordinary librarian. She is the author of the Booklust series, which she started writing, I think, in 2002 or something like that, and she's done many of these books, Booklust to Go, Booklust Journal, Now Read This, A Guide to Mainstream Fiction. And she has won many, many awards. She became the 50th winner of the Women's National Book Association Award for her extraordinary contribution to the world of books. Now there's an honor, right? She is the woman who came up with the idea in 1998, if all Seattle read the same book. She is the former executive director of the Washington Center for the Book, and she travels really all over the world. Oh, she's also on NPR's Morning Edition, and she appears on NPR stations, including ours, all over the country. And she knows her books. We thought we would start today with a little conversation about books you should read with your children as they are growing up. But Nancy has recommendations for your book club. She has recommendations for you. If you've read this particular author, then you ought to read this by that particular author, or you ought to branch out to somebody else who is similar to the author you enjoy. Here's our phone number. Our lines get crowded when Nancy is on, so you may want to reserve your place in our book line as soon as possible. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, where we already have quite a few recommendations, which we'll read along the way here, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Nancy, hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
How are you?
I'm fine. So nice to talk to you.
I know. It's been a little while.
It has.
I know. We'll have to catch up later.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much for being with us. And starting with books that we should read with our children, what do you think about reading stories with children out loud, even to the point, well, they can read and everybody can read, but reading things out loud to children?
I think it's a great idea. I think it serves lots of purposes. I think one of the mistakes that we make is that we think when a child learns how to read that there's no more need to read out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that doesn't really speak to one of the benefits that writing can give a family, is this a sense of a common language, a sense of a shared bit of knowledge or enthusiasm or laughter. That comes through sitting next to each other, one person holding the book and reading it out loud.
Hmm. We were talking last week with this gentleman who used to work for Microsoft, I think, and he started doing libraries all over the world, including
right.
in places that where there were really no published books, and so he had to hire people who were authors who could write and publish their words. But he found that a lot of the translations that he did were Dr. Seuss books for teaching people to learn to read, really all over the world. Does that work all over the world, and why are those books so popular, and do you recommend all of them?
Well, I don't know why they would work all over the world. I think that because the Dr. Seuss concentrated on sounds, that's a good way, really phonics, I guess. That's a good way of introducing kids to the sounds of different letters and different letter combinations. I think Dr. Seuss is, he's never been my favorite writer. The books of his that I've always loved best are not his best known or most popular books. The ones I like are And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street.
Oh, yes.
Which is not one of his limited vocabulary books,
mm-hmm.
As Hop on Pop is or Sam I Am. And then The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins is another one of my favorites. And that's a long picture book that's just great. But it doesn't come with that I'm going to teach your child to read guarantee the mm-hmm. way that some of those limited vocabulary books that he did do.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what are the things that you find you simply had to read with your children and with your grandchildren?
Well, Where the Wild Things Are,
mm-hmm.
of course, the Maurice Sendak one. And I think what's fun about that is that it allows kids to see that you can be as wild and as rumpusy as you want, but that we want you home. And when you come home, there'll be a nice warm meal waiting for you, you know, that kind of thing. Another very successful one that we would read over and over and over again is Frog and Toad, the Frog and Toad books by Arnold Lobel, which is about this friendship between a frog and a toad, and just very ordinary things happen to them. It's, the book is one of the very first readers, one of the first books the kids will be able to start looking at words and knowing what those words mean. So mm-hmm. a really good way to get them to start reading very sweet stories. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And in the same way, there's a series by Peggy Parrish, which are the Amelia Bedelia books. And Amelia Bedelia is a little girl who takes every word literally. So when somebody says to her, draw the curtains, meaning close the curtains, she takes pen and pencil and draws a picture of the curtains. So those are just a few really classic children's books that that I love. There's one that's not as well known that I think is a hoot, and every time I read it, I just still giggle, and it's called Roberto the Insect. I can't even say the title. Roberto the Insect Architect. And it is by a woman named Nina Laden, Laden, and it's just so funny. It just plays on words that kids will get as well as adults.
You just said something that's important. It's important to read books that make you laugh, I think, too, when you're reading to children. That's just a good thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. Either to laugh, or to sort of giggle and show the child that that's something that we can giggle about, that books are not this serious. You know, we tend to raise, many children grow up thinking that books are serious,
right,
that they're heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, what we should be teaching them is the joy of reading, the joy of books.
What about, and I'm wondering if they're still as popular as they were a few years ago, Nancy, the series books, the chapter books?
I think they are still very popular. I think for reading out loud, it's not what I would suggest, because you as the reader are going to get awfully tired of them.
Right.
After the first five or six or seven or eight, you're going to notice the plot is the same and that nothing is changing. But that you really want, for reading to be fun for everybody, I think that it has to be a book that the adult really enjoys as well.
Well, that makes sense. Here are some Facebook messages. Karen on Facebook writes to you, Nancy, one of my favorites is Owl Moon by Jane Yolen.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Fox in Socks by Dr. Seuss, and the entire Henry and Mudge series.
Yes, I would agree, all of those, and I think those are all big favorites of kids as well.
What's the Henry and Mudge series? I don't know that.
It's a boy and his dog.
Oh, dog. Oh, there you go.
In my recollection.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like dogs.
And in fact, one time I was telling some children in the, I think, first grade, I was telling them about some books and listening to them tell me about books. And this little boy was talking about a book that he really loved and he was just starting to say, he's gotten very, very excited. And I said, oh, what is the book about? And he said, No Dead Dogs.
Oh, he was
Isn't
right.
That great?
Yeah, it's absolutely great. Marsha writes, any book that's age content appropriate, the time spent with the child and the reading itself are more important than the content of the book. We also need to be good modelers, reading for our own pleasure in front of our children.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, I agree. I think that it's really a benefit, though, if you enjoy a book. I mean, if you're sort of slogging your way through a picture book because you've read it a gazillion times, or you don't find it funny or charming,
mm-hmm.
then the child is going to easily pick up on that.
Yeah. I must say that one of my favorites, and I still read it about once every 2 years, is Charlotte's Web. I love that book.
I did, too. And it made me cry every single time.
I know. Yeah, it still does me, too. Let's go to Diane in Milwaukee. Hello, Diane.
Hi. A good book for children is Ben and Me. It's about Benjamin Franklin and his adventures with a mouse who lived in his cap.
Oh.
Oh, Ben and Me.
Go different places and go to France and do inventions and things like that. And well, I thought it was a very fine book. I just gave it away, so I don't know the author. But
yeah,
Ben and
The author is Robert Lawson, I believe.
Robert what, Nancy?
Lawson.
Lawson, okay.
I'm just going to double-check that.
Okay.
But he did a whole series of books about the animals of famous people.
Oh.
And Ben and Me is fun. In fact, mice are fun. Totally. Yeah, it is by Robert Lawson. And mice are great fun. Richard Peck wrote a wonderful novel for middle grade students about, it's called Mice at Sea, I believe. Let me just double check. But I think that those are, oh yeah, it's called, Richard Peck's book about sea, about some mice at sea, is really for third and fourth, maybe fifth graders. Great to read out loud, really funny, and it's called Secrets at Sea. So you could do a whole mouse series. You could read about mice from...
Oh, Nancy! You know, I have my mother had this terrible mice phobia. Oh, my gosh, and she gave it to me. And there was a little mouse in her house once, and my husband was traveling, and I had my infant son, and we had to move. I moved to a motel room because there was a mouse in the kitchen. I don't know if I could stand reading all these books about mice, or maybe that's the cure.
Yes. Once you see how cute these mice are, you know, because Ben and Me, you know, the fun of the Robert Lawson book is that the mouse who is telling the story has really done everything that we attribute to Ben Franklin.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe that's the cure. I guess it's kind of a clever idea for a series of books, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Diane, very much for the call. Sally in Madison, hi.
Hello. Years ago, back in 1997, when my daughter was in maybe fifth or sixth grade, there was a book that was won the Margaret Batchelder Award called The Friends by a Japanese woman. And it was one of the best books I ever read to my daughter. It was about three boys who were in seventh or eighth grade and a relationship they developed with an old man in the neighborhood. And I thought it was sensitive and touching and just beautiful. I don't know if either of you are familiar with it.
That was by Rosa Guy, called The Friends.
I'll get off the phone because I can't hear you.
Okay. Rosa Guy, we think. Do you know the book, Nancy?
Yes, I think it's Rosa Guy's The Friends, I think. Let's see. Well, no, maybe not. This was about boys, you said.
Yeah. That's okay. When we have a pause, you can look it up, which is coming up in a moment. It sounds like a lovely story. That's a good theme for any kind of book, I think. Sally, thanks very much for the call. Richard in Racine. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling about some books that my kids just love from birth on, probably up to 6 years or so, by Lois Ehlert.
Oh,
Waiting for Wings and Chicka Chicka Boom, and there's a book called Ralph the Talking Dog.
Yeah, Phyllis Ehlert lives in your part of the world, and boy, are you lucky! She's a wonderful, wonderful artist, illustrator, writer, and the illustrations are colorful. They're large. They're really great for many of her books are great for the earliest of sitting down and reading with your children.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, art is beautiful. It really motivates our kids to try to emulate that, I think.
Actually, yeah.
I'm remembering an email that she sent a couple weeks ago. Her brother sent, saying she'd like to be on the show, and she should be. So I'm reminded of that. Richard, thank you very much for the call. Meredith on Facebook, some of my favorite family read-alouds, Ella Enchanted, City of Ember, Peter and the Starcatchers, and, of course, The Hobbit.
Yeah, and I think all of those are, you know, those are great, and it's great that people are reading them out loud, because those books are aimed at kids who now can read themselves. And so normally, as I said, we would not be reading them out loud, but there's where we need to change our behavior and use those as family read-alouds. Get everybody together, you know, of all the ages in the family, and listen to these really entertaining books. Peter and the Starcatcher is absolutely a great one. The Hobbit. If you read The Hobbit to your 10-year-old, 11-year-old, you can even then go on. It's a much bigger commitment, but go on and read the Return of the King, the three books that make that up: The Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, and The Return of the King, which is the last one. So the whole thing is called The Lord of the Rings. But Tolkien wrote The Hobbit for younger children, and for when his kids were young, and then when they grew up, he wrote The Fellowship of the Ring. And the young man that I know, who's in the second grade, his father read him, and he's not a reader, he's a very active kid, but his father read him The Hobbit, and together, I mean, they had a great father-son bonding experience over it. They could talk about it afterwards. It's all those kind of added value things, I think, that come along with that reading experience.
And let's welcome more phone calls in a moment. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour. We're talking about books. We can branch into recommendations of books for book clubs or specific areas that are of interest to you. We just thought we would start with reading books that are good books to read with your children as they are growing up. And that's kind of the theme, but we'll go everywhere with books. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And Rhonda Fanning, who's also a librarian, you know that, don't you, about Rhonda, has found out that the author of The Friends is Kazumi Kazumi Yumoto, Yumoto. Thank you, Rhonda. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls now for Nancy Pearl, Susan in Oregon. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I didn't realize when I called in that the theme was going to be on children's books, so I'll interject something other than what I called about, and that was that when my son was young, he used to listen to the Harry Potter books on tape, and we did it when we would travel, and we would go on camping trips in the summer, and those books on tape were just wonderful.
Yes, they are.
Oh, they are. Jim Dale is one of the classic readers, and those are great. And there's a book that translates very, very well into being on tape or on DVD. As an audio book, it works equally as well as an audio book as one you read yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Actually, what I called about was more of an adult topic, and that was I've been having a renewed interest in Mary Todd Lincoln and also Rosa Parks. And the other day I was watching the dedication of the Rosa Parks statue, and I realized there's a lot more about Rosa Parks that the general public doesn't know, and I think that would be I would be interested in knowing of a good biography to read about her.
Let me jump in here with that.
Also Mary Todd Lincoln.
Because we just interviewed Jean Theo Harris, who is from the Milwaukee area, and just published her book, which is really a definitive biography of Rosa Parks. And I can't remember the name of it. Well, Rhonda's finding it for me, but it's Jean Theo Harris, Theoharis. She's been all over the place talking about the book, and it's very well researched.
I'm sorry, I missed that program.
Well, you can go to our website, you know, go to WPR, and you can listen to that show as well. It's archived, but here it's The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks by Jean Theo Harris.
Right, and you know, with the movie Lincoln coming out, I've heard different historians as well as Sally Field talking about aspects of Mary Todd Lincoln that also are not really that well known, and I forget if it was Sally Field that might have mentioned that she read five different biographies in preparation for her role, and I was wondering about what biographies might be recommended.
You know, that seems to me to be a really good question for your local librarian, because he or she would have all that information easily accessible, and just can pull up what's out there and what's available. Offhand, I'm not sure that I know any that I could drag out of my mind and recommend.
Did you see the movie, Nancy?
I have not, no.
Okay, you'll like it, I think.
Yeah, I suspected you were going to be there on opening day in Milwaukee.
You're right, I was. I was. But she gives a wonderful performance, but Daniel Day-Lewis is just, oh my. I can't even find the words. He was just superb. Really superb.
That's great.
Susan, thank you very much for your call. Dawn on Facebook writes, what a great show to listen to as I clean out my bookshelves. My middle school age son still loves reading with us, though we're heading into more adult fare. Tonight we'll be starting Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods. We all need a good laugh as we get ready for more snow. And as the mom of a future librarian, I can't emphasize reading with your children enough. We have great memories of books that we've shared together.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that just absolutely speaks to the, you know, another added benefit is the memories that it's building. I know my children still remember a long car trip we took when we read Alice in Wonderland out loud, and just how much we really, really loved it. So I think it's that kind of shared memories that go a long way in keeping families healthy and happy and together.
Yeah, you're right. Rebecca in Sun Prairie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up the subject of books, and the author that comes to mind is Peggy Rathbun, books that don't have a lot of words to them, but are so rich in their illustrations that it creates so much discussion. My kids just loved 10 Minutes Till Bedtime and... what was the other one? The Gorilla, Goodnight Gorilla, and books like that. And then later we got into Officer Buckle and more of her books that are more story-oriented. But they're just amazing books that just got us talking for, you know, up to an hour on one book just about the funny pictures and things that they would notice in the pictures.
Yeah, you know, there's a writer named Shaun Tan, S-H-A-U-N-T-A-N, and he has two wordless books, two or three, maybe the third one is out. But that's the kind of book that I think you're talking about, because the story is all there. It's just, it has no words. You provide the words from what you understand is happening in the story.
Oh.
And The Arrival is about a man coming to a new country, or you could understand it as a new world, and trying to make his way, not knowing the language, meeting people, seeing these unfamiliar machines that are in stores and in factories. It's unsettling in not a harsh way, but it's unsettling, and it makes you look at people from different worlds, different countries, differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book. His books are fabulous.
Thank you, Rebecca, for your call. Deborah in Madison. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I'm just have this remote hope that this may ring a bell with Nancy Pearl. I'm so pleased she's on, or anyone is listening. In around 1970, 71, I bought a book for my nephews, and the whole thing was based on the premise that Jell-O grew on trees, and it was all about the island of Jell-O, where all these different kinds of Jell-Os grew on all these different trees, and there was the captain of the Jell-O boat, and it went through the whole thing about the harvesting of the Jell-O and getting it on the boat and getting it to the mainland and out to your dinner table and all this kind of stuff. And it was so funny, and the kids loved it. And for years, it kind of lived on because the older cousins who got the book when they were young would then start telling these stories to the younger cousins about anything on the table, whether it was marshmallows or whatever, about, well, that grows on trees. And they would just start making up these whole elaborate agricultural scenarios. Does this ring a bell? I can't remember the name. I can't remember the author. I've done Google searches, and you wouldn't believe what I've come up with, but not the book.
Well, I wonder if it wasn't a book, a part of advertising for Jell-O at that time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because because there was, for example, a Kool-Aid book that I remember. So
it didn't have any trademark affiliations.
Well, it wouldn't be. Partially, I think that's something you wouldn't notice unless you were paying attention to it.
It was funny.
I have no. Well, they would want it to be.
Hmm. Yeah.
But you might try writing to Kraft.
Out of town. Okay.
Oh, that's something I never would have thought of, Nancy.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't know they put books together.
We bought it at University Bookstore in the children's book section.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck in tracking that one down. Email from Jim. My wife bought me a young adult book called Colin Fisher, about a middle school kid with Asperger's who solves mysteries. It is funny and incredibly enlightening. I recommend it to adults and to school kids. Colin Fisher. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Uh-uh.
But I suspect we're going to get many more books about kids with Asperger's or kids who are on the autism spectrum, the more it gets into the popular consciousness.
Yes. And another one from Daniel. I have a 13-year-old boy who loves online games, and I'm having a hard time finding something that's interesting for him. What are some good books, recommendations for 13 to 14-year-old readers?
Okay, and one would be The False Prince. The False Prince, which is the beginning of a trilogy. The first two books are now out. We're waiting eagerly for the third.
Okay.
That's very exciting. You know, brave main character, young boy, who is taken from an orphanage to do something, to join two other boys to do something dastardly and probably dangerous. So they're definitely that one. I think Feed by M.T. Anderson is a really good book. What happens when we are all so wired that we really don't need computers or tablets or cell phones because we can just communicate with our brains and through, you know, all that advertising on those different websites, those now appear in our brain as, you know, like flowing through our brain as we're talking.
Hmm.
And then what happens if the plug gets pulled and we no longer have all that in our minds?
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Okay.
It's a great book.
Good. Feed, it's called.
Feed, uh-huh.
All right. Diana in Chippewa Falls. Hello, Diana.
Well, I was calling about a series of books that my youngest son was in grade school. We ran into accidentally at the library, and I think they're by Joyce Smith, and we call them the Adam Joshua series. And they're books about two little boys who are in third grade. They live next door to each other, and you get to know their families and their teacher and her husband and all the kids in the class. And they were just they were heartwarming and funny and realistic. And there's probably eight of them. There was one about a science fair called Weird Science, and there's one about a turkey or a Thanksgiving plate called The Turkey Side of It. But they were fun for adults, fun for kids. And I've never met anyone who's heard of these books or read them, and I think it's a shame because they're really endearing series.
Huh. And I have not. Ask Joshua.
No, I haven't heard that either.
Yeah, I think the first one's Adam Joshua, and something, but then the rest of them, all the titles pertain to the Valentine's Day party or whatever. They're probably about 150 pages. And
We'll be looking it up.
Yeah, we're looking it up.
Yeah. Thanks, Diana. Yeah. Email from Sam. I'm a library media specialist in a K through 8 school. I highly recommend the Mercy Watson series by Kate DiCamillo. They have great humor for both children and adults. I enjoy reading them with first graders.
And I think Kate DiCamillo is one of those writers that you just simply can't go wrong with. Everything she writes, I think, is a definite hit for readers. She's a she's a national treasure, like Lois Ehlert.
That's big praise from you. She's a national treasure. Thanks, Diana. Sarah in Zion, Illinois. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to mention that Robert Lawson, oh, God, he was, like, my favorite, and he has another book about Paul Revere's horse, the whole thing from the point of view of his horse. It was so good. But I'm also, we had a book in our house called One Kitten Is Not Too Many. It was, like, our favorite kid's book, and it was about the family and their cat has kittens, and the dad says, no, we can only keep one. So they take the rest to a pet store, and one by one, the family walks by the pet store, and actually, the dad said, you can't have any. That's what happened. So anyway, one by one, every member of the family buys all the kittens, and so then the dad says, okay, we'll keep the kittens. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes, it's a book. The author's name is Dorothy Levinson. And the book is not in print, not available, so quite expensive. But you might find, it came out in 1964, you might be able to find it at a library.
Hmm. All right.
People loved them, though.
Oh, yeah. It was a really little book, like for, for little kids.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you, Sarah. Ed in West Dallas, hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
I know you're doing children's books here, but we are going to be commemorating the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy's death this year. So I do hope that people will pick up at least Profiles in Courage and spend some time with that in the next few months.
Nancy?
I think that probably people will. I think there'll be a lot of media attention to that, and I think that there are going to be many books, both laudatory and critical.
Mm-hmm.
And it would behoove us to take a look at them.
That's hard to believe. It's been 50 years. 50 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
The one book that I think is a perfect read aloud and will catch any child's attention, this is on Facebook, is The Witches by Roald Dahl. Oh. Go ahead, Nancy, take it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He was always a little too scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
For both reading out loud. He's never been one of my favorites because I have a low tolerance for scariness. So
I do, too.
You might want to talk about it.
you like thrillers, though.
I like thrillers, but there seems to be, I think that those are much more straight ahead violent. I think I think it's the hinting at it, that kind of terror that just lurks beyond the familiar, like Neil Gaiman's book Coraline. Do you know that, Kathy?
No, I don't, Nancy.
Well, it's about a little girl who realizes one day that her mother is not her mother.
Mm.
And it just goes from there. And I found that to be very scary.
Yeah, that is
scary. I loved
it,
but it was very scary.
Yeah. Mm. Rhonda has found this for to the person who was trying to find the book about Jell-O growing on trees. There is a Jell-O museum. In Leroy, New York, and maybe they could help. And you go to jellogallery.org. If anybody would have the answer, there it is.
Ask the librarian.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin is next in Milwaukee. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. I got this stack of books here that I've been reading to my daughter. I go to the Betty Brin wing of the Central Library downtown on Wisconsin Avenue.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to give it a plug for that because
it's a great library.
Really a wonderful place.
Yeah, it is.
And I kind of gravitated toward it, toward the folk tales and fairy tales section. And my daughter is 5 years old, and I've been reading to her since since she was really able to sit up and listen. And she seemed to like these longer folk tales and fairy tales. And she said for a long time, like when she was in K-4, some of the teachers were saying that she couldn't really pay attention as well as the other kids, but she'll sit for like an hour or an hour and a half while I read these books to her.
Wow.
And I remember I got The Wizard of Oz in a bridge version, but it's still pretty long, for Christmas when she was 4. And that night she had me read it to her. She kept wanting me to keep reading, and I kept, oh, it's too late, it's so late. It took me an hour and a half, and she sat through the whole thing. But anyway, I got this, I'm currently reading the original Pinocchio with her, and it's really a lot different than a Disney version. It's really, I'm kind of surprised at discovering these old, familiar named fairy tales, folk tales, but this is quite a long book, and Pinocchio is really a naughty little boy, and all sorts of bad things happen to him as a result of him being so naughty, but he keeps getting a second chance, and he keeps, you know, trying again, and he keeps being led astray, and we're up to page, like, chapter 28 now or something. But then this Beauty and the Beast, it's more translated from the original. And it's a longer book, too, and what I discovered in it, there's more of a lesson about the Beauty's sisters. They were all real vain and conceited, and they ended up marrying these guys. One had a lot of money, but then he didn't pay attention to her, and then the other one married one that was really handsome, but he was just always looking at himself in the mirror. So it's like there's a lot more lessons to life in these books, and some of them I get a little concerned because she likes these stories. Like, there's this one, Odysseus. I read her the story of Odysseus, and that's got, like, a lot of violence in, and I was kind of a little concerned about this, but she liked me to read it to her. And I remember when I was a little boy, my teacher said that I was writing these stories that had a lot of violence in them and everything, but I grew up to be very nonviolent. So, like, I don't know what to make of that quite.
Nancy.
I think you got out whatever violence was in you through writing it.
Right.
And you didn't need to act it out.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous that you're reading your daughter those books and going into the folk and fairy tale section of the library, the 398s, as we librarians refer to them as, and finding the original versions and not just relying on the Disney versions to give us the story, because Disney really changed those books significantly, changed the stories to make his films. So I admire you. I'm happy that you're doing that.
I'm amazed that his daughter sits for an hour and a half and listens to him read.
I think it's partly the sense of that you're with your dad and you're close together and, you know, you're not responsible for anything but to sit there and listen and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
What could be better?
Right.
I love to be read to.
Oh, it's a marvelous thing. Thanks, Kevin, very much for your call. Deb on Facebook, we're reading our 4.5-year-old, The Last Unicorn. We've watched the movie, and she points out the differences. I also read her whatever I am reading, so she knows that I read for my own pleasure. So she's reading, I don't know this author, Jennifer Chiaverini, and looking forward to Little House, Narnia, and Harry Potter.
Yeah, and the Little House books, I mean, a lot of people, again, think that a lot of young parents remember the television series and think that's what the Little House books are about. And so they forget that there's a first one called The Little House in the Big Woods, and they begin with Little House in the Prairie. But to go back, to forget the TV version and go back and read the books is to see a very, very different version of Laura Ingalls Wilder's work.
Hmm. Are you a big fan of Laura Ingalls Wilder?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am. When we took our children to see her last house in Missouri, And then when somebody was from the South Dakota Book Festival wanted me to come to South Dakota to speak, and I was being a little bit, you know, like, I'm so busy, I don't have time to do that. And she said, we'll take you to Laura Ingalls Wilder's house and show you it. And I said, okay, I'm there. So that's how she bribed me into going, knowing my love of Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah. We have, we tend to not remind you enough that we're on Twitter, too. And so we have a Twitter comment that we would like to read. Nancy on Twitter suggesting Seed Folks by Paul Fleischman, a great read aloud and leads to great discussion. And if you want to send us a tweet, it's at K Dunn Show. Are you familiar with Seed Folks?
I'm not familiar with that particular book, or at least that particular book doesn't come to mind, but Paul Fleischman is another author who I have an enormous amount of respect for. Another one of our treasures, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nancy, for sending us that. Jeff in Madison, hi.
Hello, good morning. Yeah, that library uptown, I took my kids to that probably every other week with their kids. But my daughter turned 30 on Thursday, and when she was a baby, I would read Sports Illustrated and Rolling Stone to her, because those are my magazines I read. And then Shelf Christine was light. And then my son, the Stein books, he just devoured those. I couldn't buy them fast enough.
The what books? I didn't hear you. I didn't hear it, Jeff. The what books?
The Stein. The author was Stein.
Oh, the R.L. Stein, the Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Goosebumps.
And I think partly, you know, when kids are little, when they're, you know, before they start walking, when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 months old, what is so wonderful is, you know, to hear a parent's voice in a loving way, whether they understand the book or not. Kids get from books what they're ready to get from books. You know, that's why I think that it's not that kids are going to learn something wrong from a book. They're not going to understand what they don't need to understand or what they're not ready to understand. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, Nancy. Complete sense.
You know, I'm sorry that kids at 8 read the first Harry Potter book and then go on and read all of them, because I think there's so much in them that at 8 years old you're not ready to encounter. But is it going to hurt them? No, absolutely not. It's not going to hurt them.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff, very much for your call. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@wpr.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we are getting some tweets. If you'd like to give us recommendations that way, that's terrific, too. And that's at K Dunn Show. Nancy Pearl, wonderful librarian, is our guest this hour. The theme of this hour is books you should read with your children. And we'll take more phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And let's go to Judy in Racine. Hi, Judy.
Hi. You mentioned that you love to be read to. I do, too, and that's why I love Chapter a Day. But I wanted to tell you that some of my favorite books. One is My Pony, which is a beautiful picture book by Susan Jeffers.
Mm-hmm.
Any little girls who like horses would like that. And a favorite that was read to me when I was in kindergarten, and I read it to my kids, and now I'm reading it to my grandkids, The Country Bunny and the Little Gold Shoes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Those are so wonderful. I just get goosebumps when I think of them.
Thank you, Judy. Karis in Madison. Hello, Karis.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to recommend the Dealing with Dragons series by Patricia C. Reed. It's one of those series that my mom read to me when I was too young to read them, and then when I was old enough, I went back and read them all by myself. And they're a little bit longer chapter books, but they're really good.
And did you read the book by Patricia Reedy that has chocolate pot in the title? The Enchanted Chocolate Pot?
Oh, yes. I really like that book.
Yes.
So, that was the one she wrote with another fantasy author. I can't remember
uh-huh,
who.
Right. I'm going to try to find that.
So this is another one. When you finish reading the Dealing with Dragons books, then you really want to read Sorcery and Cecilia or The Enchanted Chocolate Pot. That's the name of the book.
Sorcery and Cecilia?
Uh-huh. Okay. Or The Enchanted Chocolate Pot. Okay. And she wrote, Patricia Reedy wrote it with a writer named Caroline Stevermer.
All right, Karis, thanks for the call. This is Deborah from Verona. My favorite children's books to read to young children are written by Patricia Thomas. They do have great titles, Nancy. Stand back, said the elephant. I'm going to sneeze. And there's rocks in my socks, said the ox to the fox. They're a joy to read, and the pictures, Deborah said, are great.
That's great.
That is great. Marilyn in Madison. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, I want to remind Wisconsinites who think they're suffering in this long winter, read the Long Winter by Laura Wilder. You will stop complaining.
Start reading it tonight, right?
Yeah, it was wonderful, and it changed my attitude about winter.
Well, a picture book to read would be Katie and the Big Snow.
Okay, Katie and the Big Snow.
Yeah, Katie and the Big Snow. It's Katie with a Y.
Okay.
And it's by the same person who wrote Mike Mulligan and his steam shovel. But Katie and the Big Snow is by a woman named Virginia Lee Burton.
Virginia Lee Burton.
And it's just it's just a classic picture book.
You get any snow out where you are this year, Nancy?
Oh, occasionally. Just not this year. Not about a decade ago, we had a huge snow.
A decade ago.
Yeah, right.
You remember,
right.
And people wrote books about it. I'm sure.
right. That closed everything and messed up the city.
Right. Thanks, Marilyn. We're getting one tonight. That's why there's so many snow references. It's been a tough month. Adam in Milwaukee. Hi, Adam.
Hi. I'm really excited to actually speak on here for because there's a bunch of times that I've tried to before. I got read all the time The Diggingest Dog is a Dr. Seuss book, but I got read that from my grandma. And when she passed away, my grandfather had kind of a breakdown and just said, family, come in and get everything you want. And a lot of people pilfered and took very selfish possessions, and I went right for that book. And I still have that book.
And, Adam.
I read that to my kids. I actually got a newer version because it is still in print, but I got that version, a newer one, because the other one is such bad shape, because I used to just have that read all the time. And it's just a simple Dr. Seuss book, but it just, she couldn't read that five times and it wouldn't be enough.
That's such a nice memory.
Yeah, it sure is. And books are like that. There is a tendency, isn't there, Nancy, to read at least a couple of the books that we were read to, that were read to us when we were children.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just totally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if it was a wonderful experience being read to, then you want to recapture that experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam, so much. We have about 20 seconds left. How's your novel coming?
Oh, it's coming very slowly. But, Kathleen, I need to come on the show to talk to you about my trip to Bosnia.
Oh, my goodness. When did you go there?
I was there in January, and I was doing some work for the U.S. Embassy, planning if all Bosnia and Herzegovina read the same book.
Oh, my goodness.
And talking about how books can really begin a process of healing in a country that is in many ways set up not to,
right,
to make healing very
difficult. We'll talk about that. Yeah, and Rhonda will be in touch.
Yeah, so, I haven't been able to do very much else but think about that and read more books about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just was an amazing experience and just reaffirmed what we believe, that books are so important.
Yeah, we'll talk to you about it. Nancy Pearl, our guest this hour. We're sorry if we didn't get to your email or Facebook. We were absolutely flooded this hour. Post your suggestions on Facebook, please, because there are great recommendations there. The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we hope to get a list of the books discussed today up later this week. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning, librarian herself, and thanks to Nancy Pearl.